Welcome to Being Who You Are. I'm your host, Naomi Simpson. I'm an entrepreneur, an astrologer, a transformational coach, and a yogi. And I believe that speaking authentically empowers others to do the same. Here, we can have conversations around what it means to live in integrity and how the way we live has an impact on the community around us. Thank you for joining me for this exploration. Welcome to Being Who You Are. I am your host, Naomi Simpson, and today it is my joy to introduce you to my friend, Cynthia McLaughlin. Cynthia and I actually just finished a yoga class together, and so I convinced her to stay behind and do this interview to have a little bit of a discussion about some of the themes from the podcast. So to introduce Cynthia and tell you a little bit about her, she is a retired teacher, a retired child services representative. She's an animal and nature lover, and I would put that in really big, bold letters. She is an equine therapist, and she specializes in equine massage therapy, red light therapy, and raindrop therapy. She lives at Notting Hill Farm up in New Tecumseh. And she lives there with her husband, her mother, and her fur family, which consists of one dog, five horses, and two cats. Welcome, Cynthia.
Hi.
Thank you for joining me today.
You're welcome.
It sounds like you've got a very busy household with a husband, a mom, a dog, five horses, and two cats.
Yes, I'm kept very busy, that's for sure.
So tell me a little bit about the equine therapy that you do now. You're retired from your former career, and so now you have embarked on a new career?
Yes. What I do is usually I do it within house, in my own, at my own stable. Mm-hmm. And so my horses all get, you know, if they need any adjustments, anything like that, they get either the red light or the raindrop or a massage.
Nice. So I've never heard of either the red light or raindrop. I have definitely used massage therapy for myself and on my own animals. I know how effective it is, but I've never heard of the red light or raindrop. Can you tell me a little bit about that, please?
Sure. The raindrop therapy is a combination of oils that you put together and you put on the horse, and some of them can be a hot oil, some of them can be a cool oil, and they work together, and it just feels so good to the horses. And then you would put a blanket on top of them once the therapy is done, and it just keeps them nice and warm and gets everything in place. I know my one guy, Nikki, when he knew that I was going to do a red light therapy, he would turn his bum right to me saying, here, mom, right here. This is where I hurt. And I No, buddy, we have to start at the top and then I'll get there. But he would, he knew what I was doing and he just loved it.
That's very interesting. That's very cool. So do you do like massage with the oils or you just apply the oils and let them do what they're supposed to do?
Do you know what? I do a combination of both. Usually I ask the client what their preference is. Mm-hmm. And, you know, some just want the massage, some want the massage with the oils. And, you know, so it's their choice.
Oh, that's cool. That's really interesting. And so then that's the raindrop therapy. And then what's the red light therapy?
The red light therapy it's almost like it's a tool that you use that actually has red light in it. Mm-hmm. And you start sort of at the top of the horse's pole and mm-hmm. go all the way to different trigger points. And it just feels so, so good to the horse. It really does.
Wow.
Really
so it's kind does. Of like a horse, an equine version of like an infrared sauna. Is that sort of the idea?
Exactly. Yeah.
That is so cool. Infrared sauna is very, very interesting. I've experienced it once many years ago and it was really powerful. Maybe I need to book a red light therapy with you. So I love, thank you for telling me about that. That's very, very interesting. And I love that you have gone from what is a fairly traditional career as a teacher and then working in child services, which is certainly a departure from teacher, but I can see like how those two really tie in together. But now doing something completely different. And that is really what we talk about on this podcast, is how we follow things to really express our soul's calling. So really, you know, finding out what is it that I want to do? What am I here to share with the world? And so I love that after you've, you know, years and decades of sharing your gifts of teaching and working for child services, that you have devoted yourself to these different healing modalities and equine therapy. That's really, really cool and interesting. So can you tell me?
Well, I know when we were building the farm, that was always my dream, Naomi, okay. Because I came from a farm in Nobleton and I thought I have to get back to that. Boarding nice. Horses just was not for me. Mm-hmm. And there was some very good stables that I was at, but I really wanted to look after them myself. Mm-hmm. So we built the farm and then I thought, okay, I have to work it that I can retire and do this full time, because this is my passion for sure.
Wow. I love that. And so when did you first get interested in those like equine massage and the different modalities?
Well, do you know what? I had a degree. I went to university at night and there were courses that I had to take to get this degree that I thought, I don't believe this. I'm never going to use political science or some of these courses that we had to take to get the degree that I was getting. Mm-hmm. And I thought, I will never take another course that I'm not going to use. And so when I finished and graduated from university, I just started to look around and think, oh, okay, you know what? Yeah, I'd like to see the massage therapy. I'd like to try it. And I just looked at alternate therapies and just started making myself a list and doing them as I could.
Oh, that's so cool. I love that. So you were still like, you started studying those while you were still working before you had retired.
Yes, I did. Yeah.
Okay. But your game plan was always like retire and then I'm going to fully devote myself to this.
I used to say to the girls at work, I said, I'm going to really love my new workspace because it's right outside my back door and it's my beautiful barn. And I'm just going to love getting up for work every single day.
Oh, I love that. So you're totally living the dream now. And so tell me a little bit more about that journey of how you got to the point of like, buying your place, building the farm. I mean, you knew what you wanted, but that's not something like we all have ideas about what we want, but it doesn't just boom, a genie shows up and says, here it is. How did you get there?
But do you know what? I think my health was pushing me. I was trying to do the job that I had with the region and look after a farm as well. Mm-hmm. And it got to the point that, no, I could not do both. I had a very good friend of mine say to me, Cynthia, you're doing two full-time jobs and it's eventually going to catch up with you. And it did. Yeah. So I got to the point that I had to make a decision. Okay, what do I want? And I thought, there's no question. I want the dream. I will give up what I have with the region and I want the dream. So I'm going for it. And that's what I did.
That's amazing. And so you've basically just answered my first question, which is, you know, or you've given a wonderful example of my first question, which is, the idea behind this podcast is to discuss what it means to live true to yourself, what it means to live in integrity. And you've shown me how, you know, you came to a crossroads and it was clear to you the decision you had to make. What was the reaction of your family and friends and your colleagues when you said, yep, I'm leaving behind this career so that I can pursue my dream and, you know, run my barn and practice all the equine therapies?
Do you know what? My mom, for one, at that time, she was not living with us. She was concerned because she said, Cynthia, it is 24/7. You're never going to get a break. The horses are, and I said, I will get my breaks. I will figure out a way to do that. Mm-hmm. That was my mom's concern.
Okay.
My husband, he was okay with it, but he wanted me to do the full, I didn't get my 30 years with the region, and he wanted me to do that to get a full pension. And that to me was, yeah, I didn't care about pension or anything else. So
it wasn't worth it.
It wasn't. No. My health was starting to suffer a little bit. And yeah. I thought, no, my health is worth more than that. I don't need to get it to the point that I'm not going to be able to live.
Yeah, absolutely. So, and that takes a lot of courage though, but also to recognize, like, you know, my body can't handle this, or my mental health, whatever, you know, but that your health was being compromised. And so, you know, you think of people, you can have all the money in the world, and when you don't have your health, you really have very little. So I think that's really powerful to have recognized, you know, no, this isn't, you know, like I don't, it's not worth it to me. I'm not willing to do this at any price. And the cost would have been your health.
No. And however, I did have some friends that were 100% behind me. So right. It was almost that my friends were 100% like cheering me on, and my family had a little bit of difficulty. So it's okay. Funny how it worked. Yeah.
And so then did, I mean, obviously they eventually came around, I'm guessing.
Yes. Everybody did when they saw how I was. And oh my gosh, you know what? Cynthia's not as exhausted as she was, because she was doing two jobs at the same time. She can, you know, she's flying. She's so excited.
Nice.
So that's, yes, they were on board then. But nice. They saw the change in me. That's for
wow.
sure.
Wow. That's power. You know, it's that the proof in the pudding, right? It was like the new and improved version of Cynthia, or not really the new and improved. This is like the true Cynthia stripped away of the other stuff that had been kind of piled on over the years.
Yeah.
So tell me what it means for you to live in integrity. I will still ask you the question. You've shown me that you live in integrity. Tell me what that means for you.
You know what, to get up in the morning and appreciate what I have, because with the job that I did have, Naomi, we had families that they poured their life out on the table to us. So it quickly taught me to appreciate what I had. I go, oh my gosh, Cynthia, those people, you know, that little wee glitch that you had this morning about it was nothing. This is these right. people's lives. And this is how they have to live and get up every day. So you better appreciate everything that you have.
That to me speaks to having like an attitude of gratitude, which I think is so important. And, yeah. And like, absolutely. I certainly try to be very aware of the ways that I've been privileged through many different opportunities in my life. So that definitely, I think that speaks to how important the practice of gratitude is. So for you, it sounds like gratitude is a cornerstone of you being true to yourself, is to have that sort of foundation of gratitude.
Yeah.
I love that. That's it's very powerful. You know, in different times in my life, I've kept gratitude journals, which is often a practice that you get encouraged to do when you're like embarking on any type of spiritual sort of journey or quest. And
Naomi, I know I have a happy journal. So anytime I've had a extra special happy day, I write it down in a journal. And you know what, then you can go back and look and say, wow, you know, that was so much fun, and almost relive it.
Yeah, exactly. And that, yeah. And it's that to me, when you're actually capturing it in that way. And I think that's so important, that reliving it, because we have a habit, I think, as human beings, to relive the bad stuff, right? You know, you play things over and over in your mind, and oh, I should have said this, and I wish this hadn't happened. And so you think of, in yoga, we call those samskaras, those patterns, those comfortable grooves that we get in that don't necessarily serve us. And so why not reprogram the mind and have those comfortable grooves being the wonderful joys we experience in life instead? That's a very powerful practice. I love that. So tell me, obviously you've just described how in retirement you are absolutely living in integrity. Have you ever struggled in your life to live in integrity and to do what you wanted to do, being true to yourself?
Yes, for sure. And it was at the farm. I wasn't retired at that point, and I had a boarder that wanted me to help with her horse, and so I did. I gave up some things to be able to do that, and this person was, a very accomplished rider, but had taken some time off to have family. And just thought that she could just get, right back on and have the timing, have everything just click again. And I had explained that, no, that wasn't going to happen. Perhaps you need to get on Lucas and get your balance, get everything back. But she was determined that she wanted her own horse and wanted to do it her way. So I said I would help her do that. And no, it did not work. Not at all.
Oh, no.
Not at all. And in the end, she went to another stable, and no, it did not work. So everything that I tried to do, it just kind of blew up in my face. And I thought, okay, well, that's a lesson learned.
Okay. And so how did you feel like you were out of integrity there? Was it because you had a sense that things were going sideways and you weren't able to kind of stop it, or what was happening?
Yeah, I had tried to keep everything on track, and no, it just wasn't. So in the end, it was better for both that the horse left and the rider found another stable.
Right.
That just was the final. Yeah. And it was unfortunate, it really was.
So had there been kind of red flags that you ignored all along, or what was it, looking back,
maybe because it was just a little bit too close to me. Yeah.
Okay.
So that I have been, it taught me sort of to not let my guard down, because I was very surprised with the outcome and how it all turned out.
Okay. So it was, yeah. It's always interesting when, to me, like, that's sort of, I know when I'm out of integrity at times and I have, my body's telling me like, this isn't for you or whatever. I have kind of that sixth sense about something and I ignore it. It usually does sort of blow up in that way, because it's, you're getting all these messages all along, like, you need to stop the train. Things are getting out of control. We often sort of go, oh no, it's fine, and just trundle right along, and then all hell breaks loose. So that's always a painful lesson to learn, right?
Yeah, that's for sure.
So tell me about how, can you give me an example of in your life where living in integrity has led you to, your true sort of path?
Well, do you know what? We have on the farm, we have a neighbor that, the daughter was really struggling at school, and the mom knew my background, and she said, Cynthia, would you be able to work with this girl? And she says, because I'm just really struggling, we're fighting and it's just not working. So what I did was I said, yeah, I said, you know what, we'll have her, instead of sitting at a table and doing, her reading and her English and her spelling and all that, I said, we'll go out to the barn. And she said, what? I said, yeah. I said, we'll go out to the barn. I said, I'm going to get her grooming Lucas and getting connected, her connecting with the horses. And I said, and then we're going to do some reading. And she says, okay. And I said, she's going to be reading to Lucas. And she says, you're kidding me. And I said, no. This girl just, she loved it. She had to do reading, she had to do spelling. There was a spelling test on every Friday. So she came a couple of times during the week, mm-hmm. and she'd do the spelling list to Lucas.
Oh wow, I love that.
Because it wasn't to me, no. And as you know, horses don't judge and everything,
yes.
But Lucas was a really good teacher in that I'd say, oh, Lucas, is that how you spell that? And he would nod his head yes, like he got right into it too.
That's so funny.
It worked really well. So she did not think of having to go to, oh no, I have to go to school again. I have to go over and sit with Cynthia and she's going to do it. No, it was, I get to go to the farm and I get to be with Lucas. And so it worked out so well for her.
I love that. And just to make it clear to anybody listening, Lucas is a horse, everybody. And he's a lovely, lovely, gentle giant. But I love that because you combined all of your experience there. So teacher, child services, and your horse skills. And that's, I love that. I used to participate in a program called Story Dogs, where kids would read to dogs. And two of my dogs have been story dogs. And it's such a wonderful program because, as you say, the animal doesn't judge. And so the children build their confidence by reading to, in this case, the dogs, or in Lucas's case, to a horse. And that just building that confidence. And that's so much of what school is about, right? Is feeling confident in your own ability. I love, that's so wonderful. I feel like you should be doing more of that. That's a really,
and you know what, I love it. I just love doing that too. Yeah. It's a lot of fun for me.
You can make it story horses.
Yeah, that's it.
Do it in partnership with the library or something like that, or with the schools. That's very, very cool. I love that.
That's a good idea.
Also then exposing this young girl to horses, which is, you know, she may not have had the opportunity otherwise to connect to a horse. And that's pretty exciting too, because horses are definitely magical beings.
Yeah.
So you've given me lots of wonderful examples about, you know, how you live authentically now and expressing yourself. Can you tell me about, my belief is that when we live authentically and we really show more of who we truly are, stripping away all of those costumes that society asks us to wear and all of the different roles that we play as, like, wife, daughter, mother, friend, whatever your profession is, etc., then we're really getting to the essence of who we really are. And that helps other people to have the courage to step into who they are. Did you feel like when you said you had your friends cheering you on when you made this shift, did you notice any sort of ripple effect around your friends and family to start to step into more what they wanted to be doing when they saw, you know, you had like it totally changed your outlook on life, your health was better, you were thriving clearly. Do you think that it inspired other people around you?
I think so. I know with my husband, he was concerned with my health, and he's mm-hmm. going, oh, okay. So now I don't have to be always checking on you. Cause he was really checking and making sure that I was okay. Cause I was not in a good spot, not at all.
Wow. Okay.
And so it really, it did help that way. That's for sure.
Okay. And did you notice any change? Like, did you have any friends or any family members who were like, you know, you've inspired me, like making that change and retiring early and or whatever. I've decided, like, I'm going to take this course, or I'm going to, like, I want to do more things that kind of feel more true to me, like, because you have done that so clearly in your path.
I have a good friend that, yes, and she was also having some health concerns. And mm-hmm. she said to me, she goes, Cynthia, she says, I have to have a fairly serious operation. And if all goes well, she says, yes, she says, that's it for me. I've got grandchildren that I want to be here for and be with. Mm-hmm. And that's it for me. So yes.
So yeah. She ended up leaving her job, or like
she did, yes. And wow. she was a teacher. Yes.
Okay. Yeah. Wow. Good. And so it's changed how that's changed her life in a positive way.
It has. It really has. She now looks after one of the grandchildren. Nice. And she is in heaven. She just is so happy. The operation that she did have went very, very well. She got her health back, and yeah, she's just flying in the cloud. She's so excited. Yeah.
Oh, that's wonderful. Now, what about your husband? I mean, obviously he got completely convinced that this was a good thing because you are like thriving and healthy and he doesn't have to worry about you. Do you feel that it's changed him? Like, has it opened him to more possibility and thinking for himself, like, maybe I could do things differently in my life?
I think just the idea that he can just sort of kind of do his own thing. He's self-employed, so he can do his own thing. And if he has to work late or whatever, it's okay. You know what? I don't have to check. I don't have to be home or do or whatever. So it has given him a little bit more freedom than he had a little bit.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, that's good. And some breathing space, right? Because when
exactly, that's the word, breathing space.
Yeah. Yes. And also when you enter that dynamic with your partner where one feels like they're in kind of shifting into more of a caregiving role, that's a tricky dynamic. So it's nice that he's been able to step away from that and now back into this lovely partnership of husband and wife, rather than, you know, I have to look after you and I'm responsible for you or whatever, that kind of thing. Yeah. It's more of a mutual connection and responsibility. So that's nice.
That's correct. Yeah.
So in the past year, go ahead.
No, he's much happier with that. That's for sure. No,
I'm sure he is. Yeah, I can imagine. So in the past year with the pandemic and COVID, the reality of living during a global pandemic, do you feel that this has changed your ability to live true to you?
Do you know what? It was a little bit difficult for us in that we had a lot of changes. My mom actually moved in with us. She sold her house, moved in with us, and all her belongings moved in with us too because of the pandemic. Yeah. And she had a very large house and we do not have a large house. So my car got kicked out side and we're using all the storage space that we have to house her
stuff.
House.
Wow. Yeah. That's a huge change, having your mother move in with you. Yeah.
And I'm used to, I like things in its place and everything was not in its place. So I found that a little bit tough. I did.
That's definitely chaotic. And also just dealing with a really unexpected change. And I definitely feel that the pandemic has certainly brought a lot of unexpected changes to many, many people. I think naturally humans don't thrive. Some people do. Some people are really good at being adaptable and flexible and just going with the flow. I personally struggle with that. And I think that many, many people don't, you know, it does not come naturally. They sort of cling on with teeth gritted to clinging to the way things were. Was that your experience? Were you sort of clinging to the way things were and forced to make a big shift?
Well, do you know what? The one good thing is when everything was coming into our house, I still had the barn. Mm-hmm. So the barn was my
haven.
It was the way I wanted it. Everything in its place. We didn't have any of the furniture. Anything that wasn't supposed to be there was not in the barn. So it was a place that I could go, and I did, and be with the horses, and they definitely helped me through. Yes.
Wow. That's beautiful.
A little bit different.
That's beautiful. And I love that you recognized, I mean, that to me is being true to yourself, because you recognize like, okay, my mother needs me. I'm willing to help out in this way. And I also have needs. And so I can't just sacrifice myself completely for, you know, what's going on in my family. And so to meet my needs, I need to spend time with my horses out in the barn and have that time alone with them and connecting with them in that way. So that, I love that. That's such an authentic expression of who you are. And also really good. That to me is having self-compassion. You know, we are well socialized to, especially as women, we're all taught to look after other people and, you know, meet the needs of others and help, you know, and which is wonderful. We need, socially, we all need to look after one another. But I think women are often encouraged to do that at their own expense. So, you know, where they're like, it's that, it goes back to that saying, you know, like put your own oxygen mask on first. So for you, putting your oxygen mask on was spending time out in the barn.
That's right. Yep.
Nice. That's good. So what I always give I'm going to turn the tables now and give you the opportunity to ask me anything that you'd like.
Okay. Do you think, I know that you have some knowledge with astrology, mm-hmm. and I just wondered if you knew of anything, I'm not wording this right, sorry.
Okay.
I'm having some difficulty sleeping sometimes with, I think, moon cycles and that kind of thing. Would mm-hmm. that... Am I correct in saying that, or am I totally off base in saying that?
That is a wonderful question. And I'm glad it is like off topic, but I love that question. So thank you for that. So moon cycles are very powerful, and I find it extremely helpful. I actually did a webinar a couple of months ago on syncing your life with moon cycles, and I'll probably do it again, maybe in the fall. And so I'll keep you posted, but I personally believe it's very helpful and useful to sync yourself with the cycles of the moon and notice how do I feel when the moon is in this constellation and that type of thing? Because the moon moves through the whole zodiac every 29 and a half days. That's the month, the moon. Each month, the moon is making its whole way through the zodiac. So what I would suggest, if you're finding that you're having issues sleeping, there are lots of free apps online. One of them is called iLuna. You can download it to your phone, and it will tell you what sign the moon is in at any given moment. So the moon right now is actually in Virgo, and I have a moon in Virgo. So this is a very comfortable placement for me. I know you have your sun in Virgo, so this probably feels pretty good for you too.
Yeah.
And, but what you want to do then is what I like to do, and you could do this for 2 or 3 months on a calendar. I would just write down, okay, moon in Virgo today. And then I would write, how am I feeling physically on a scale of 1 to 10? How am I feeling mentally on a scale of 1 to 10? How am I feeling emotionally on a scale of 1 to 10? And how am I feeling spiritually on a scale of 1 to 10? Then do the same thing tomorrow. Look, where is the moon today? Notice how you're feeling. You can do it sort of at the end of the day when you've like to sort of feel like, how was the day today? It'll probably take you, you know, a few minutes every day. And then what you notice is after 2 or 3 months, you can notice, oh, when the moon is in, for example, like, so when the moon is in Pisces for me, because I have a moon in Virgo, I find Pisces a very emotional moon for me. So then it doesn't mean like, oh, when the moon is in Pisces, I'm going to crawl into bed and not do anything. That's not, you know, that life happens. I might know, you know, if I'm feeling kind of down for no reason, and then I'll be like, oh, yeah, the moon's in Pisces. Like, okay, so it's okay, because it's going to shift into Aries in 2.5 days. It's probably, and actually even just knowing that, knowing which cycles work for me or which cycles are better for me for work or which are more productive, or which are more social or which are more fun, which are more creative. Those cycles are then, I can then use that. So I can think like, I'm going to book a lot of appointments or things when the moon is in Capricorn for me, or when the moon is in an earth sign. Those are really helpful for me to get a lot of things done. That's because I have an earth moon. And then you could, you know, if you're like planning some kind of social event or whatever, you can plan it for when the moon is in maybe a fire sign, because that's more like lively, and or an air sign, because that's more social. So you learn which moons feel more comfortable for you. And then you can sort of start to plan activities based on that. The other thing is, we have had a very intense time, particularly in the last few weeks, because we were in eclipse season, which is very like unsettling energy. It's kind of like this big gust of air blowing through our collective consciousness, and it can bring endings and sudden changes and then new beginnings. But it can be very unsettling as well. So then yesterday we had a really, really powerful, intense aspect was exact yesterday, I think around 6 p.m. And that was the Saturn-Uranus square, which is a very tense conversation between those two planets. And that for sure is something that has been building and we would have been feeling, and it kind of reached an apex yesterday. So I too have had a fairly disrupted sleep for the last on and off for the last few weeks. And last night I slept like a baby. And that was kind of a welcome. Oh, phew. That was nice. But once we sort of learn more about the cycles, and of course, looking at your own chart, which you can do with an astrologer, and to know what's hitting what part of your chart and do you have changes? I like to, even though I'm an astrologer, I look at my chart almost every day just to see what's hitting what parts of my chart. And for example, like I have really, really strong activation in my chart that's relentless all this year. And so I know this is going to be an intense year. And so that's okay. I can do that. I've been there before. I've had intense years before. And it's just reminding yourself that, okay, you're in a really intense cycle. And so you need to really take care of yourself and rest. And it's, you know, it's okay to have a nap if you need to in the middle of the day, if you're feeling your energy ebbing and that type of thing. So it's kind of becoming aware of like, how am I in terms of this cycle? And then allowing yourself, giving yourself what you need to take care of yourself. And it doesn't necessarily mean like a nap is one thing, but like going to bed early or creating a ritual around bedtime to help make it more likely that you're going to be able to fall asleep with ease and stay sleeping with ease. Mm-hmm. So that's things like not watching TV, not looking at your phone, having things like darker and quieter, and so that you're cueing your body that it's time to rest and that, you know, that's part of it. There's all sorts of different things. Trying meditation would be another one I would also give a go with. But thanks for that question. That's a good one. And a good example of how, for me, like being true to me is to talk about those, that kind of thing. Like I have no shame saying that I sync my life with cycles of nature and the cycles of the moon. That helps me to just live in ease and harmony. I used to really dislike winter and I would really resist winter. And here in Canada, winters, it's in here. We're here for a long time. And a few years ago, I was reading something by an astrologer named Jennifer Rassiope, who's in New York, upstate New York. And she's a really wonderful astrologer. She's written a wonderful book called Cosmic Health. And she talked about, you know, winter is the time to rest and it's a time to go inward and to really be introspective and take that very quiet, silent time. And now I really actually look forward to winter. I'm not saying I love it when it's like minus 30 and dealing with driving in the snow. I don't love those things about winter, but I do love the slower pace and I commit to a slower pace. I don't try to overdo it. And if it's a snowstorm and I'm supposed to get together with someone, I don't have any problem saying I can't do it. It's, you know, I have a big snowstorm up here. I'm not leaving my house. Whereas in the past I'd be like, oh, I'm still going to try to drive into the city or whatever. And now it's like, nope, it's not worth it. So thanks for that question. Any final thoughts or comments, anything more you want to share about your journey? I love the fact that you're very much living authentically and true to who you are.
I just want to thank you, Naomi, because when I agreed to do this, as I said to you, I wrote down all the questions, got totally prepared. And do you know what? I didn't even have to look at my notes. I maybe should have had a question written down so it came out a little bit better than it did, but no, you are very easy to talk to, and I've really enjoyed this time together. That's for sure.
Wonderful. I have as well. Thank you. And that's, I love that you had answers, you know, you had answered the questions I had. So I always send interviewees, if they wish, I send them the questions just so that they know what we're going to be talking about. And I always say, we might go off script. And I did an interview a couple of months ago. I haven't actually put it on the podcast yet. And it was with Albert, the German pilgrim who I met on the Camino. And he wrote all the answers and he said, okay, I'm going to read all the answers. And I said, no, I don't, I think that will be really weird to have you just reading from a script. Yeah. And we never even got close to the, it was so funny. And he said after, oh, he threw the paper in the air. Why did I even do that? I didn't, but it was funny. I think sometimes it helps you organize like what you want to share and how, you know, what you want to bring to the table. And it also makes you think about examples so that you can, you're not sitting sort of, what examples can I think of? You know, you've got them more readily available to you. So
That's right.
Thank you very much. I appreciate you joining me for this conversation. And if people would be interested in connecting with you for your equine therapy, what would be the best way for them to reach you? Would it be like by emailing if they had an inquiry?
Yeah, they could email me. And my email address is onenottinghill.cm@gmail.com.
Okay, great. And I will include your email address in the show notes. So if anybody wants to reach out and connect with you about the equine therapy, they can certainly do so.
Okay, that would be great. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you very much, Cynthia. And thank you everybody for joining us and looking forward to our next conversation. Thank you for joining me for Being Who You Are. If you enjoyed our time today, please share this podcast with a friend and head on over to iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts and leave the show a rate and review. That helps get our content into the ears and minds of more people who might enjoy it. Thank you again and looking forward to our next episode.